If you turn with me to John chapter 14, and I'll read verses 1 through verse 6. It is the subject of the Father's house that we want to minister on today. John chapter 14, and we pray that God will undertake and God will bless us. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll just unite together in prayer. We'll look to God now for his help. And you pray the Lord will challenge you and God will help you. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to the most central part of all our worship services, and that is the preaching of the cross. We pray, O God, that we'll stand beside this preacher. Pray, O God, you'll forgive him for all his sins. And Father, we pray you'll make him to be a channel of blessing. Lord, we do not dare preach in the energy of the flesh. We do not, O God, dare to heed or hear the message in the energy of the flesh. For Lord, except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Therefore, Lord, we pray thou wilt come and thou wilt move mightily among us. Stir our hearts, we pray, and help us, O God, to leave the house this day saying, it was good to have been here, for here we met afresh with thee. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At the start of John chapter 14, the disciples' hearts were troubled for many reasons, but one in particular. Christ's time on earth with them was coming to an end. During their 3 years with Christ, the disciples enjoyed blessed times. They witnessed many miracles. They had the privilege of hearing his sermons. However, on various occasions during his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples that he would soon be taken to suffer many things, to be crucified and to rise again. And though they heard that message many, many times, yet it seemed his words did not register with them, and they forgot them so quickly. And yet in the passage we have read this morning, it is interesting to note that the Lord Jesus Christ knew how each and every one of them felt. He knew the sorrow that they expressed. Christ understood their feelings. He knew their anxious thoughts. For as the great high priest of his people, he sympathizes with them, for he is touched with the feelings of their infirmities. Christ cares and Christ understands. Therefore, it was needful at this time for Christ to bring a word in season to his weary and his troubled ones, because we learn in Psalm 147, verse 3, he healeth the broken in heart and he bindeth up their wounds. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his troubled ones, his anxious ones, let not your heart be troubled. The word troubled before you in verse 1 means to be agitated, disturbed, means to be distressed, to be shaken, to be stirred up, to be anxious. It means whatever is troubling you, it is taking away calmness and making you restless. And so the Savior's words, as he says to them, let not your heart be troubled. He offered it in a command. Let not your heart be anxious. What I have taught you, put it into practice. Let not your hearts be disturbed. Let not your hearts be divided. Don't allow matters on earth to take away your rest. Don't allow matters on earth to rob you of spiritual truth. And isn't that the case many times in our lives, when things come upon us, whatever that situation may be, whatever that trouble may be, It disturbs us. It perplexes us. It causes us to be anxious. And all those great truths, we begin to be deflected and diverted from them. And so the Saviour is saying, let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be anxious. Let it not be divided. Because I have a word for you. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. But it's all on your behalf. I'm living for you. I'm dying for you. I'm going to be buried for you. I'm going to rise for you. I'm going to intercede for you. And hallelujah, one day I'm going to come back for you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be divided. We would often say, don't get yourself all wound up. Don't let yourself get all worked up. Don't let it eat at you. Don't let it get at you. Whatever it is that is troubling you, whatever it is that is causing you to be anxious, don't let it do so, because Christ has a word. And that was the case with these disciples. Their heart was troubled. And so Christ spoke these wonderful words to give a word of comfort. He knew their circumstances, their concerns, and their cares. But it's how the Lord brought comfort that is a wonderful blessing, because he alone calmed the storm around and within. Because only the Lord Jesus Christ can say, peace, be still. The Lord came and he had their minds fixed on spiritual and eternal truth. Matters relating to redemption, his resurrection, representation in heaven, and his return. The Lord said to them, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And then he also told them the great truth that he would come back for them. And maybe there's one here this morning. I want to say to you, in your troubled state, whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, the Lord knows your heart. He knows what you are going through. He knows every burden, every distress, every worry, what causes you sleepless nights, what causes you to be perplexed, what keeps you up and your mind working overload during the day and at night time. But the answer is the same. Christ is the answer. He is the answer for the comfort of believers and for the salvation of sinners. Christ always brings the word that we need at the right time, in a time of trouble. But in bringing that word, he always leads and directs our minds to focus upon his purpose of coming into this world. And that was to purchase redemption, the forgiveness of sins, the deliverance from sin, to guarantee that he will have with him in heaven a company of sinners saved by grace and gathered from all the nations of the world. And that's why we've often said, that's why we can preach the gospel. That's why we can go into all the world. That's why we can go through the streets of London and tell men and women about Jesus the mighty to save, because Christ has died for a people. He has guaranteed that there will be people brought out of every nation, every tribe, because the Lord has much people in this city. Christ did not die in vain. He came to seek and to save them that were lost. And so, child of God, as the Saviour speaks to his disciples and tells them, let not your heart be troubled, he then gives them that comfort by showing them why he came and where he is going. He's going to the cross, and then he's going into heaven, and one day will return. He tells them, in my Father's house. And that's what we want to think about today, the Father's house. Notice, first of all, the particulars of the Father's house. First one, in my Father's house are many mansions. Christ was actually giving the description of the Father's house. Notice three simple thoughts under this. The Father's house is an actual place. The Saviour said, in my Father's house. And then in verses 2-3, he uses the word a place. Therefore, Christ is referring to an actual place, an actual place of residency for the people of God. The Father's house, the everlasting dwelling place, heaven. It is not a fairy tale. It is not a myth. It is not an imaginary place to make people feel better or to give a false hope at the end of life. Rather, there is a heaven to gain, an eternal kingdom to enter and to enjoy. And therefore, Scripture gives many different terms of this blessed truth. The Father's house is called a country. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, it is called a city. In Hebrews 11, verse 10, it is called the everlasting kingdom. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, and in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, it is called paradise. What's interesting to note is in this verse in John's Gospel chapter 14, in my Father's house, the Lord also used the same word in John chapter 2, verse 16, to use the word house in reference to the city or to the temple in the city of Jerusalem. The Lord said in John chapter 2, verse 16, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. There he took the word house and related it to the temple in Jerusalem. And now in John chapter 14, he takes the same word, house, in reference to a heavenly home, an eternal home. And that's significant. That is a wonderful truth, because the Saviour, in comparing both verses, the Father's house in eternity, or in the temple in Jerusalem, that was the centre of worship to God, upon the blood of the everlasting covenant, upon the blood of the sacrificial animal, the whole scene was one to teach redemptive and spiritual truth. Remember the temple in Jerusalem. That was the place where the sacrificial animal was brought and offered up. Its blood was shed. The chosen animal, having been examined, was then offered to God as a substitute to teach symbolically the only way whereby sinners could be brought back into fellowship with God. We must always keep in mind that sacrificial animal and its blood never took sin away. But those temple sacrifices, they were a pattern. They were symbolically to teach by faith that when the promised Messiah would come into this world, this is what he would do. His life would be examined. He was one chosen out among the people. And there, as having lived that perfect life, he offered up that life as a sacrifice, as a substitute on behalf of sinners. He gave himself to save sinful men and women. He paid the debt of sin and offered himself to God without spot as the only way sinners would be reconciled. And so the whole point in the temple, it was all about worship to God through the sacrificial blood. And Christ is teaching that when reference is made to the temple on earth or the home in heaven, it's all about worship to God. It's all about worship to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. God is to be worshipped on earth in his house through redemption, through the precious blood, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in glory, in heaven, when we enter into heaven, it is to praise God by the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believer, soon our time on earth will come to an end. But when the roll is called up yonder, we will be there. We will exchange the temporal for the permanent. the earthly for the heavenly. Our worship will be unhindered and our worship will be unending. What a blessed view that is. When we come Sunday by Sunday, we do so to sing praise unto Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. We worship the Lamb upon the ground of redemption. But when we enter into heaven, we will continually praise Him, for we will enter into heaven's choir and sing, redeemed by the blood. Unsaved one, if you don't turn from your sin and confess Christ as your Savior, you will hear those words, depart from me, for I never knew you. Notice the Father's house is also an abiding place. Christ stated, in my Father's house are many mansions. The word mansions is the word dwelling place, or the word abiding. It means to dwell, to take up permanent residency. And so Christ is stating to His people, those who are troubled, those who are anxious, because remember, when the Savior goes to the cross, for them, that's it. Because remember, when Christ did die on the cross, how they thought that was it. They had lost hope. The two on the road to Emmaus, their heart was broken because they said, our Savior has died. And so the Lord speaking to them about eternal truth, about heavenly truth, He stated to them that He has an abiding place for them, that where He is, they may be also. You see, here is the lesson. Psalm 39, verse 12. We are strangers, pilgrims, and sojourners. The word stranger means a foreigner, one who is a long way from home. The word sojourner is one who's just passing through, one looking for a more permanent destination. And so Scripture shows that the people of God are sojourners. We are pilgrims. We are just passing through. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, fuse this. And what a reminder for God's people. Our final destination has been prepared. We can say like the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. There is much labor on this earth. There is much toil on this earth. Times of joy, sickness, weariness. But one day, child of God, we have an abiding place where there will be no more heartbreaks and no more heartaches. Yes, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And here's the great truth, child of God. Your heavenly home, your eternal mansion, it is already secured for you. It's not that you're coming through life or coming to the end of life hoping one will be reserved. One is there for you right now. Because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is engraved in the hands of the Savior. And He's just waiting for that day when He will welcome you home. And you will enter into the King's presence and sit at the King's table. In my Father's house are many mansions. And notice the Father's house is an abundant place, because the word many is the word abundance. In other words, we will never fully grasp with our limited mind the infinite, the unlimited space of the Father's house. It will hold all the redeemed of all ages, right from Adam in the past to believers in the present and those in the future. All will be there. In my Father's house are many mansions, an abundant of mansions, many abodes. All the elect of God from the north, south, east, and west will all be dwelling in unity and in harmony. The Father's house will accommodate all the people who are the fruit of Christ's death. And at his return, he will come and gather his full harvest, his reward, his inheritance, his jewels, and gather them all together. On that day, none will be missing, because Christ has said to comfort the troubled one, to comfort the anxious one, that where I am, there ye may be also. All who have put their faith and trust in the finished work of Christ will dwell in the Father's house. You see, faith must rest in Christ alone, not in Christ plus a backup or a helper, as people talk about today. It's not Christ plus baptism, or Christ plus church membership, or Christ plus the Lord's table, or Christ plus traditions and dead saints and church creeds and idols, and as people go on, Christ plus many other religions. No, it is faith alone in Christ alone for entrance into heaven. Can I ask you today, are you on the way to heaven? Are you saved by grace? Are your sins forgiven? Have you come to that point in life where you've confessed to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? Or have you just thought to yourself, you know, it'll work out in the end. I'll just try my best. I'll attend church. I'll see you at Christmas. I'll see you at Easter. And we are all good. No, it is not. You must be prepared. Oh, I say to you, men and women outside of Christ, you need Christ as your Savior. But for the child of God, there is a place of eternal rest. There is our final destination. And what a blessed day that will be. Notice secondly and briefly, the preparation for the Father's house. Christ said to these troubled ones, the anxious ones, the disturbed ones, I go to prepare a place for you. Here is the preparation. Christ speaks of his people. I go to prepare a place for you. And there we have Christ pictured as the great forerunner of his people. He goes before them in his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. How did Christ prepare a place for his people? Where did Christ go to prepare a place for his people? And I say to you, Christ went to prepare the place for his people by going to the cross at Calvary. For the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary to suffer the punishment of sin, to pay the penalty of sin. For on the cross of Calvary, all our sin and all our iniquity was laid upon him. He went to the cross of Calvary to prepare a place for his people. Upon the cross, he was purchasing our redemption. He was purchasing our eternal rest. Yea, every spiritual blessing that we enjoy, it all comes by the way of the cross. All that Christ accomplished on the cross was in order to save sinners from their sin. We learn, don't we, in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, about the dying thief on the cross. The one who came and put his trust in the Lord. He said, looking on to Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, verily I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise, in my dwelling place, in my abode. I'm not sure if you've ever thought of this or it has ever crossed your mind, but Christ died before the thief died. I don't know if you ever come across, you've read that before, but if you've ever actually thought upon that, Christ died before the thief died. Again, John 19, verse 32 to 33, that when Christ and the men were upon the different trees, there came the soldiers to break the legs of the first and the other, which was crucified with him. But when he came to Jesus, he was already dead. And so they break not his legs. And the whole point that I'm making is this. Christ died on the cross, and he died before that thief to show that as the great forerunner of his people, he has gone before them. He's entered in on their behalf, because where he is, they shall be also. He's gone to prepare a place for them. He went to Calvary because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh on to the Father but by me. And therefore, to miss heaven, or to miss Christ, is to miss heaven. To miss Christ is to miss eternal rest. Refuse his only way, his only truth, his only life, and you refuse heaven. Neglect the only way to God, and you guarantee your everlasting punishment. You seal your destruction. Men and women, I urge you this day, be reconciled to God. But hallelujah, I can say as well, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood shall lose all their guilty stains. And I do believe that Jesus Christ has all power to save sinners, because his blood has never lost its power, and it never will. And that's why there's men and women today, no matter how religiously hard you are, the chief of sinners you may claim to be, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save, yea, your neighbor who may be a hard man or a hard woman, your family member who may be so religiously activated, yet the Lord is able to save. Why? Because he has all power to save all who come unto him by faith. And that's the great blessing. He is the only way. He is the only truth. If Christ cannot save, or if Christ is not able to save, we have no message to give anybody. But here's the hope of the gospel. Christ died. He came into this world to save his people from their sin. And therefore, this is the great blessing. He is the only way back to God. Coming into heaven, to God's presence, is not through the church. It's not through me, not through other religious leaders. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you, how many ways do you have to heaven? I know you talk to people in the streets and they say, well, I've got this way sorted out and I've got that way sorted out. There's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice finally, briefly, the people in the Father's house. It has often been said, the Father's house, or heaven, is a prepared place for a prepared people. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Lord Jesus Christ promised, I will come again. He promised that his people will be with him. You see, at death, the body goes to the grave. But at the moment, well, day after, and suppose in England, 3 weeks later. But at the moment of death, the soul leaves the body. And the soul will go to one of two places. If that soul is saved, it will go to heaven. But if that soul is not saved, it will enter into eternal damnation. And though the body is in the grave, there is no such thing as annihilation. No such thing as soul sleep. I know people today talk death is the end, and that's just it, nothing else after. I tell you, the soul will either enter into heaven or enter into hell. The Lord Jesus Christ has said that where I am, there ye may be also. There's a word to his people. At death, you will be in my presence. At the moment of death, I will welcome you home. And here is the truth of all these great blessings. The child of God never loses out. The Lord Jesus, referring to his coming, Matthew 25, verse 31, he shall come in glory. And Christ is not coming back to be crowned king. He's coming back as king. And he shall set the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And he shall say unto those at his right, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And that preparation begins now on earth. And child of God, you are prepared for heaven. All you need is found in Christ. Your acceptance, your provision, because Christ is your acceptance. Christ is your provision. That robe to enter into heaven is given because Christ is our glorious robe. No wonder the Lord could say, let not your hearts be troubled. Let it not be anxious. Let it not be defied. Let it not take away these great truths. Because I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back for you. That where I am, there ye may be also. You will be forever with me. And that's the great hope of the Christian. That's the great hope of the believer. Forever with Christ. And I trust today that you who are not saved will come and put your faith and trust and get ready and get prepared for heaven. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.